in the open field. 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown! Oh, baby, this kid's pretty good.
You're listening to Bison Report Radio, presented by 24/7 Sports.
The Thunderdome, especially on homecoming, is just not something that you want to allow to get rocking, and they really, really did.
I don't think you could ask for any better. Maybe one more completion to go 11 for 11, but that kid was fun to watch.
Their wing spot is pretty loaded. I mean, you got Jared's going to play. I mean, he's as solid as it gets at the two spot.
Here's your host, publisher of Bison Report, Ross Uglum.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Bison Report Radio Podcast. I am your host, Ross Uglum, publisher of Bison Report for 24/7 Sports. Joining me in this playoff preview podcast is number three in your program, number one in your hearts, Trevor Gebhardt. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing really good, man. I really am. There's a lot of good stuff going on in our household and in our family. So very grateful for that. But just to give people a preview of this, I am drinking some bourbon whiskey right now as we record. So
important to know. Important to know.
Just something for you to put in the back of your minds.
Yeah, I think the performance on Saturday probably inspired a few Bison fans to pour themselves a cocktail or just liquor and ice, either way. And, you know, we've kind of foraged through this season or a week, I guess, kind of not knowing what to do with ourselves. You know, I made that somewhat humorous tweet about all the things that were going on in 2010, the last time the Bison weren't MVFC champions, but it's just strange times, man. It's strange. We're recording on a Friday night, getting ready for a Saturday in April with a playoff game. I mean, it's all just very odd, and it's certainly odd for the big game against the big rival at the end of the season with the chips in the middle of the table not to go NDSU's way. You know, that has not been the path for the Mighty Bison. The path for the Mighty Bison has been to win that game and to send their fans home happy. And I tell you what, man, I'm here and the natives are restless.
Well, this, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. It's just an odd time. The spring threw everything off. I mean, at the end of the day, there's a playoff. You're in. You got to win four to make it happen. But it'll be interesting Saturday. I think this matchup poses its challenges. As everybody knows, you have a big sky opponent who likes to air it out against a Missouri Valley defense. If you can hear Jet crying in the background, also something to keep in the back of your mind. But, you know, I just think this game and this matchup is a microcosm slash epitome of what this season has entailed. So I'll be curious to see what happens. I mean, NDSU is favored by 7. We're both a little skeptical of that spread. I think that's a little large. But, I hope these guys answer the bell. I really do, because they've had their own challenges and their own right in overcoming all the losses, if that's what you want to call them, not like score losses, but individuals leaving the program, going to the draft, et cetera. So, I mean, it's adversity time still, but this young group is going to be tested in a new way against a team that has a quarterback who's probably not a huge fan of NDSU, because I bet he feels like something was robbed of him. And of course, I'm referring to their quarterback, Eric Berrier. So, that'll be an interesting development to watch throughout the game and how he performs, and especially how he comes out. Cause I think just that component alone, I think they're going to put the ball in his hands and say, go do what we know you're capable of doing.
Yeah. And I think that is kind of where I'm at with this game. As far as why do I think North Dakota State has a chance to struggle? It's pretty simple, man. The inability to get guys on the ground against South Dakota State was something that we stressed, something that they failed to do, frustrating to watch, not Bison football. And what EWU is racking up loads and loads of yardage every game. There have been a number of occasions, frankly, including that Central Arkansas game with Josh Hayes and with all their preferred starters. No Braden Thomas, I guess, who has maybe been NDSU's best defensive player in the spring. That they just haven't looked like Code Green. They haven't looked like NDSU's offense or defense that we know and that most have come to love. And so when you see an offense like this, and Berrier is a guy that, you know, they faced and people were scared of, not necessarily scared of, but I'm looking at, you know, this 12 by 12 square up here of Easton Stick in that 2018 national championship game. And people were talking about how good Berrier was before that game. That's 3 years ago. 2 years ago, I guess, technically, because this is, you know, that game was played in the calendar year of 2019 and this game will be played in the calendar year of 2021. But this kid has had time to develop, time to create chemistry with his teammates, and hasn't gotten any worse, I'll tell you that. Watching them play, he hasn't gotten any worse. And so you have a team that lost their best cover guy in Josh Hayes, and I just have concerns about their ability to tackle people one-on-one, because it's going to be difficult to get with the way that EWU spreads you out. It's going to be hard to get three hats to the football and gang tackle. Like, there's going to have to be one-on-one tackles that they didn't make against the Rabbits that they have to make against EWU, or they're not going to have success on the defensive side of the ball. They're just not. And the second thing is, it's been a long time Achilles heel of this NDSU defense running quarterbacks. Shore was able to, you know, run around and cause problems in 2016. Taryn Christian caused problems with his ability to move around. There have just been a number of occasions when these mobile quarterbacks have given the Bison some trouble. And we just saw Gronowski tear them to shreds. Berrier is very able to do that as well. So that's where, you know, when you and I talk about being skeptical, it's the matchup of EWU's offense against a Bison defense that doesn't quite look like Code Green.
Well, yeah, just looking at the numbers, like we were talking for, 10 minutes before this? NDSU gives up over 300 yards of offense per game, which is very un-Bison-like.
Yes.
Eastern Washington does too. They give up 367 yards per game. And the contrast is Eastern Washington averages 558 yards per game.
Of offense.
Yep, of offense. And that right there is where my red flag goes very high, because you have an offense that is going to get yards in a hurry. They are going to be able to score most likely off of that. And NDSU doesn't have a way to stop it. So it comes down to, can you outscore them? And looking at the time of possession piece of it, typically you see that sway in NDSU's favor. They're not even winning that battle. So it does measure a cause for concern. And then to dive into it even further, you look at third down conversions, NDSU's 39% clip, Eastern Washington going at 47. Fourth down conversions, NDSU's 3-for-8 on the season. And Eastern Washington is a stellar 13 of 18.
Ooh.
Eastern Washington is probably going to go for it on fourth down quite often, just looking at that. And why wouldn't you? So when I see that, it tells me two things. Number one, that NDSU has to get a turnover early and get points off of it. And then also control the clock with the ground game. And they might be able to do it, but the issue is it goes back to that third down conversion. They're not converting those short yarded situations. They haven't done it all season long. And I know it's been against Valley opponents. And Eastern Washington is giving up a lot more than Valley opponents in terms of yards per game. So their success rate may be a little bit higher at the end when you compare the two, the season conversion rate versus this particular game. But it comes down to, is that going to be enough to, again, outscore this potent offense that's getting 558 yards of offense a game and 386 of those through the air?
And that's, you know, something else. You go back to North Dakota State and their loss against SIU, and that was the biggest problem, man. That was, I mean, and that was a 24-point ass-kicking. That's just something that doesn't happen to the Bison. But ultimately, you look at the team stats, and you look at 11 of 16 on third down and 1 of 1 on fourth down for SIU. That was just a complete inability to get off the field. And that's something that they can't have. I mean, they have to get off the field on third down against this offense. They might win the game if they force three punts or two punts and a turnover. And I'm not joking when I say that.
Yeah. Well, but again, it was like we were talking before this. I totally agree with you, but when you look at NDSU's rank in the country for turnover margin, they're 84th.
Yeah. It's bad.
They don't turn the football over. And you got a quarterback in Eric Berrier who's coming in probably with a chip on his shoulder and something to prove, because he got a national title taken away from him against this team. I think he's going to be a little bit more careful with the football than most. So, yeah, it's you start piecing all these things together when you look for gaps of, okay, where does NDSU have an advantage? It's tough to pinpoint. I can find it. If Hunter Luepke goes off and they convert third down, well, there you go. But the inability to show that consistency is where that concern comes into play.
Yeah, and like, I think, you know, I talked about this a little bit on Keith Brake's show, where you have to, more than anything, so Berrier is like the extreme version of Gronowski in that he's not as good from the pocket as Gronowski, but he's better outside the pocket. And Gronowski's pretty good outside the pocket. But what I'm saying is, even more than you did with Gronowski, you want to keep Berrier in the pocket because he's a little bit uncomfortable as a pocket passer and just going through his progressions, especially if that first read, you know, there's so many quick throws in Eastern Washington's offense. If that first read is covered up, like, he wants to get out and make something happen with his feet. He wants to play some schoolyard ball. And so keeping him in the pocket, that's a big deal. And you know, I mentioned you do it one of two ways. You kind of mush rush and stay in your lanes with the four, or you rush like crazy and you spy. And that's where you saw like Jabril just ruin James Madison's life in 2018 by spying Brian Shore all game. Now, when you spy, you go from seven-man coverage concepts to six-man coverage concepts. And that's where I think it's a little scary.
So you kind of segued into this perfectly. So I'm looking at Berrier stats this spring. Yeah, because looking at this, it doesn't look like they had anything in the fall. And his lowest yardage total was against Cal Poly in the end of March, and it was for 284. It was also his second highest completion percentage. So he didn't throw for as many yards, but he was a lot more accurate. The following week on the road, he completed 73% of his passes for nearly 400 yards. Then the following week against Idaho, which was about 2 weeks ago, he threw for 309. So there's only been one time this spring he's thrown for under 300 yards. And his completion percentage, I'll just read it as follows: 56, 59, 68, 69, 73. So he's been steadily increasing throughout the entire year. I mean, it's literally gone up every week. And then their last game against Idaho, he threw for 47%, but he didn't throw an interception the entire game. So there's probably a story behind that. Who knows what? But the fact that he has had a completion percentage that has steadily increased every single game, except for their last one, just goes to tell you, like you're talking about, okay, well, you take away a coverage guy, even with that type of accuracy, you're gonna put yourself in a bind. So where do you pick your battles at? And I don't know. I really don't know.
You take away a coverage guy from a team that just lost Josh Hayes.
Yeah. I mean, just to piggyback on the entire context of this particular team. So conceptually, when number three is the guy at Eastern Washington, pick where you're going to give up, because you either going to say, hey, go beat us with your legs, we're going to bet on us tackling you, haven't proven it, or you put the cover on him and hope that that guy is able to also make the tackle. So, yeah, it's an interesting challenge for the staff. And also, he's thrown for 18 touchdowns in 6 games. Yeah. So you can bet on, I don't know, Vegas stat line of probably 3.5 touchdowns. So, yeah, he hasn't had a rushing touchdown, though, which I find interesting. So he's not necessarily like,
they got big receivers, though. I mean, they'll post guys up in the red zone.
Yeah, I get that part of it. But I'm just saying, like, yeah, he's going to be able to make plays with his legs. There's no doubt. But I do find it interesting that he hasn't had a rushing touchdown where he just happened to break one. Sure. So, you know, he's not a stick or a Trey Lance
yeah.
in that regard. But at the same time, like,
I think he's quicker than he is fast.
Yeah, that's a very, very accurate way to put it. Yeah, I don't know, man. It's hard to rack my brain around it because I just don't know where you're willing to give up. And, of course, I haven't watched any tape on him. So that's why the jury's still out in terms of what I see. But they're completing bombs, too. Like, and tell me if this makes sense. His shortest long pass in a game is 34 yards. So they're completing home run balls consistently.
Yeah.
Against teams that are used to defending a pass.
Right.
In the Big Sky. So.
Well, and they do, like, I talk about with NDSU's offense and when it's running well, you know, contraction and expansion, run until the defense is all within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage and then go over the top. And it's something that they have done really well in the past. It hasn't gone as well this spring. EWU does the same thing, guys. It's just not with the run. They will throw smokes and screens and slants until you and your defensive backs are up on the line, and then they'll go right over the top on your head. And that is their bread and butter. It's very simple while being relatively complex. But, I mean, what they're trying to accomplish really isn't that complicated. They want to get you in the quick.
Or get the front seven running laterally through that.
Right. Absolutely.
And QB draw.
100%.
Maybe that's why he has it broken, because he's run up the middle. So you're less likely to, you know, bust one. But
by the way, I mentioned Josh Hayes. You guys are getting this on a Saturday. He is going to commit to an ACC team today. So that's just a friendly heads up for the loyal listeners to Bison Report. He's going to commit to an ACC team today.
You tell me off air.
Coastal Division. I'll take care of you. Don't. All right. I'll take care of you. Don't worry about it.
I'm gonna start Googling.
Yeah. Other side of the ball. Chris Ojo enters the portal last month. Probably their best defensive player. Ty Graham shreds up his knee in the last game. This is a gettable defense, as most Big Sky defenses are. It's you know, as I mentioned, I think there's a chance that there is a lot of pressure put on NDSU's offense. And that might be fine, but they did lose Gray Zabel. He will be back in the fall. will not play, even if they make it all the way. He will not play again this spring. Going to have to go back to Kubis. You know, don't know Kobe Johnson's status a lot. Haven't seen Jalen Bussey. And I don't know if that's his fault or if he's hurt or if he's out of the game plan. I don't know what the deal is there. But Hunter Luepke and Dom Gannella have a lot on their plate right now. Controlling the clock would be huge. Limiting possessions would be huge. You know, if your defense gets two stops and Eastern Washington runs 68 plays instead of 83 plays, that's a big difference. That's a big difference. So I think there's going to be pressure on a young quarterback in Cam Miller. And there's going to be pressure on North Dakota State to get touchdowns, don't kick field goals. And as good as Garrett Wagner is, I don't know how much of a weapon he's going to be in this game because I don't think Barry gives a damn if he has to go 85 yards or 91 yards. Like, I don't think they care. NDSU needs to convert on third downs. They need to score touchdowns, not kick field goals.
So, yeah, I mean, you're exactly right. We talk about that every week pretty much. You know, it's very hard for a punter to have that type of impact in a game like Ben LeCompte did against Northern Iowa in the playoffs, 2015, I believe. Yeah, I just even looking at going back to some of the rankings that each team has throughout the country, NDSU's first in punt returns. They're fourth in net punting. Special teams have been phenomenal throughout the entire year. So outside of some of these matchups that might not be in NDSU's favor, the special teams could be that gap that fills the void, potentially. But again, is Eastern Washington even going to punt? If they're near midfield, call the dogs off. They're not punting the football.
No.
I mean, no, even not. If they're on their own 40, I do not think they're punting the football because I think they truly believe they're like, you know what? We're going to go for it. We're going to outscore them. If we go 2 for 4 on these conversions behind the 50, we're going to win the football game.
Yeah.
I think that's their mindset going in. So they're also first in total offense and third in passing offense. NDSU, for context, is 50th. And when you start to boil that down, it tells me a recipe that we're not used to seeing. So, you know, I'm certainly hopefully optimistic. I just think there's a lot there that exploits what NDSU has been weak at for this entire season.
All right, Trev, go ahead and give me a game prediction.
All right, so when these two teams played in the national title game, I called it poetic justice because NDSU had now become the winningest FCS program in the subdivision's history by having its seventh national title. Of course, they surpassed Georgia Southern with 6. And when that whole run started, obviously, as everybody knows, that's been following the program for a long time or even a short period of time, the game in Cheney, Washington in 2010 spurred a lot of that. And a lot of guys reference it as that quote-unquote spark. I think that will be the case with this group. I think they will experience something similar. And that is the reason why I gave context to the bourbon that I'm drinking and my son crying in the background. I'm going to deviate a little bit from the score that we talked about before this.
Okay.
I think I gave the Big Sky too much credit in terms of defense. So I think the Bison do get 30. So I'm going to say NDSU 30, Eastern Washington 38.
Yeah, I got 38-34 Eastern Washington. And I know those of you that listen to, you know, my appearance on 1660 have already heard that prediction, but they struggled so much to get guys on the ground. I question how ready everybody is to just move on to the fall. This has been really tough on everyone. I mean, look, I don't question their will to win. I know how bad they want it, but at the same time, I feel like there's something just in the back of their minds that says, God, can we just get back to a normal fall camp and kick everybody's ass in the fall? You know, can we get Quincy Patterson eligible? Can we get our freshmen in? Can we use this experience to continue to progress our incredibly young roster? I feel like that is maybe where their heads are at, even just a little bit. And this is just such, for me, a difficult matchup for them with the inability to get guys on the ground. I haven't been incredibly impressed with their ability to cover, and they're going to have to cover their asses off on Saturday, man. And I just think that it's going to be one score, or one half score, I guess, one half score too much to ask from NDSU's extremely young offense.
I hope to be proven wrong. So
yeah, 100%.
You know, 100%. You know, coaches and players, if you do listen to this, please pass the word, bulletin board material. I don't care. You know where my heart is. You know where my love is. This is a pure prediction based off what I've seen. And I'll be rooting hard for them Saturday. But at the same time, it's like if the unfortunate happens and NDSU experiences their third playoff loss in its program's history, you know, you can still rebound because it's happened both times that NDSU has lost in the playoffs. So go out there and just do what you know how to do best and let the chips fall where they may. So I think this will be an entertaining game. I really do. I think the matchup provides something phenomenal to watch from a fan standpoint. I just think Eastern Washington's offense is going to be too much to overcome at the end of the day.
Sure. All right, folks, you heard it here. Next week is NFL draft week. We've got some pretty crazy stuff lined up. I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to give it all away, but we've got some pretty phenomenal stuff lined up for draft week. So we will recap a FCS playoff game on Monday. We will hopefully have a draft special either on Tuesday or Wednesday. And then hopefully Trevor and I are wrong and we're previewing another playoff game on Friday, but we'll find out. Have a phenomenal weekend, everybody, and go Bison.